It's a whole lot more difficult to make a decision, especially when you understand the complexity of all the factors involved in the decision you're going to make, the potential foreseeable outcomes, and understanding that there are always unintended and unforeseeable outcomes. Decision-making is not easy. Yeah. It's easy to stand back and criticize. It's easy to campaign and make promises. But frankly, once you're the guy in charge, it becomes a whole lot more difficult. And in most cases, there's no way you're going to win.
And after the fact, it becomes even easier to make to say what should have happened. Piling this many, we've seen this before. We saw it in the 9/11 when everyone got let loose. We've seen it when the plane crashed into the 14th Street Bridge. It's hard to get people out quickly.
It is impossible. It is simply a fallacy to anticipate an evacuation mode, because the average rush hour takes anywhere from about 3.5 to 4 hours. People make individual decisions as to when they're going to start based on where they need to be, when they need to be there, where they need to go, how long a trip they have to make. As long as everybody makes a different decision and we spread out over that 3 to 4 hour period, it kind of works about as well as we've come to expect. And that, in many ways, it's the management of expectations. I mean, there is a range of expectations. As long as what happens falls within that range, you're comfortable with it. You've become accustomed to it. When it exceeds that, then it's something that is a whole lot more difficult to plan. Let me say this. Normally, what we do at WTOP is to help quantify what is otherwise uncertain, because if you understand what's happened and what's being done about it, you may not like it, but then you can begin to deal with it. It lowers the level of anxiety. I mean, that's the ultimate goal of the traffic reporting. And the other thing is to provide the specific explanation of what's happened and where, and what each individual driver needs to do in order to deal with that. Having said that, as our general rule, most days out of the year, what we had on Wednesday afternoon was the fact that we all can't make the same decision at the same time and expect it to be anything much more than what we actually realized. Quite honestly, if there was a failure, it was a failure of imagination. The forecast was remarkably accurate in terms of what was going to happen. The only thing that varies a little bit is often the timeline.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, 50 miles means that something happens outside of the area and we don't even think about it, or it happens to us and we can't forget it. So as a result, I personally did not realize just how quickly, you know, when Doug Hill and his forecasters at ABC 7 said, distinct possibility of thunder snows, and now we've added thunder sleets, so that within a half hour you could have a half an inch of sleet on the ground. Many drivers described to me it was like driving through a curtain and suddenly you were on a carpet of a half inch of sleet on the ground, which was not quite as slippery as freezing rain, but a whole lot more slippery than driving on freshly fallen snow. It moved so quickly across the area, rushing from south to north, very much like our summertime thunderstorms, that it was on you before you had a chance. I find no fault in deciding to let people go early. I think the problem was that we didn't realize that that plan wasn't going to work. Many years of flying in a light aircraft, 11,000 hours in the Cessna doing the traffic reporting, you learn that sometimes the best decision is not to go, because you don't want to be in a situation from which you can't get yourself back out. And the more you fly, and frankly, the more you drive, the more you realize that there are situations that sometimes exceed what you've expected at that particular moment. Certainly, that's what's happened on Wednesday afternoon. It didn't serve any purpose for me to say, once people were caught up in a rush hour that wasn't moving, you shouldn't leave, because
right.
That would not have been comforting.
Right.
It would have been good to get that email first thing in the afternoon, or perhaps the day before. You know, the forecasters told us we're going to get a little burst with mostly rain. By the way, the rain washed away a lot of the salt. That was a big consideration. There was no pre-treatment. And so as a result,
by the time the snow had coming down, there was so much traffic, the plows couldn't really do their job.
That is what happens. That is always the worst case scenario, Chris, because essentially when the snow starts to stick to the ground, then we have what we'll call the golden hour of snow fighting. Actually, it takes about an hour and a half on average for trucks to make their appointed rounds and spread the salt and other chemicals on the road, the route to which they've been assigned, to get it down in that first fraction of an inch of snow that falls so that it doesn't compress, bond to the pavement, and turn into ice. Now, things were in our favor on Wednesday afternoon. The temperatures were in the low 30s, which means the salt is very effective. But if you cover the roads with cars, you can't begin to spread the salt.
Yeah, it's just it was such a nightmare scenario for folks. Part of what we talked about yesterday is this maybe doing rolling exits so people don't all leave now. And I think part of what happened was OPM said, okay, you can go. But people just didn't believe them, and so everyone left at once.
Well, the idea of the staggered dismissal, as I will say right off the top, is neither practical nor enforceable. Right. Some years ago, the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, the COG, proposed a plan whereby releases would be staggered in such a way that those people who lived the furthest would be given a head start. Now, in theory, assuming everybody can move, that's a reasonable idea. Let the people who live in Fredericksburg and in Frederick get out the door first ahead of the people who live in Fairfax or live in Stafford. Unfortunately, though, our commuting situation is so complex and many people going in so many different directions, whether it be by public transportation, carpooling, slug lines, single driver, that you just can't, you can't realistically coordinate something that would be that orderly. It just won't work. It's not going to work, although in theory it would be a great idea. The problem, of course, was the people who had the longest commutes, especially to the south in northern Virginia, they were already driving through that curtain onto that carpet of sleet, and essentially that was about as far as you were going to go with any kind of speed. Plus, I know I heard you and Mike talking about a city of hills. Yeah. And one of our reporters, Hank Silverberg, on patrol out in Prince William County, noted, he said, you know, there are hills out here that you never notice during the nice weather. We see some of the big mountains, but any little upgrade was bringing people to a stop. I heard Lon Anderson commenting this week, talking about preparation. And, you know, we have our all-season tires. The all-season tires meet the requirements for driving in snow, but by no means are they snow tires or ice tires. A tire which is completely adequate for driving on dry or perhaps in rainy conditions, if it doesn't have enough open space in the tread, is simply not going to be able to grip the snow. And unless you have tires specifically designed for driving on ice, and although you can buy them in the catalog, nobody has them,
right,
then you're simply
We don't really get enough snow to make that usable most of the time.
Last year, Maryland Governor O'Malley said, look, he said, this is the Mid-Atlantic. We are prepared for what we get 10, 12, 15 years in a row. Nobody is able to prepare. Nobody is willing to budget for the kind of equipment and manpower that it would take to respond as quickly as we do for what normally happens under the most extreme situations.
So nobody's been watching this longer. Have you ever seen something like Wednesday night, Thursday morning, just where everyone was, it was gridlock all through the region?
This ranks in the top five. Now, we had the so-called Veterans Day snowstorm of 1987. I think it was 87 when we had thunder snows concentrated to the south and east, Prince George's County, Oxon Hill area, and the Beltway ground to a stop on the hills between Oxon Hill and Branch Avenue. But this was before cell phones. And frankly, right, we at WTOP started finding out about 5 o'clock in the morning after that snowfall that people had been on the road on the Beltway and on the highways all night. I know that there were school buses that were still on the road at 11 o'clock at night on that particular occasion, and many people who were stuck and stranded. This time, with the advent of our instant communications, we're much more aware of the predicament. But what happened this week ranks at the very top of bringing everything to a stop. I don't think there's any room to criticize anybody involved in the planning leading up to it. Quite honestly, it's time for us all to reassess and take a certain amount of personal responsibility. That ranges from everything from blocking the box to being prepared for a long commute to making sure that you have, you know, a full tank of gas this time of year is a real good idea. Not everybody can afford to go to the gas station and fill it up.